Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building something with real attitude, a jungle voltage breakbeat in Ableton Lev 12. This is old school D&B energy, but shaped in a way that can actually carry a modern track. We're not just making a loop that sounds jungle-ish. We're building a break that has pressure, swing, grit, and a little bit of instability in the best possible way. Think of this as part break edit, part texture design, part arrangement weapon. In jungle and old school D&B, the breakbeat is often the identity of the record. It's what drives the energy, defines the phrasing, and creates that forward motion that straight program drums can sometimes miss. And the challenge is always the same. How do you make it aggressive and elastic without killing the low end or flattening the ghost notes? That's the sweet spot we're aiming for here. By the end, you want a break that feels alive, dangerous, and ready for a club mix. Tight enough to hit hard. Loose enough to breathe. Let's get into it. Start by dropping in a classic break sample on an audio track and looping just one clean bar. The first priority is attitude. You want a source with a strong snare backbeat and enough top-end detail to survive slicing. If it's a little polished, that's fine. We're going to reshape it. Now, be careful with warp. If the sample already sits close to the tempo, don't overstretch it right away. Old-school breaks can lose their pocket if you force them too hard. If it's drifting, use beats mode and keep the transient behavior focus enough to preserve the hit. What to listen for here? Does the snare have weight without becoming papery? And are the ghost notes actually doing something, or is the break basically a flat backbeat with no movement? If it sounds plain at first, don't panic. A lot of the character appears once we start slicing, saturating, and shaping the envelope. Next, slice the break to a new MIDI track. Slice by transient so you can control the meaningful hits. Kick, snare, ghost snare, open hat, little funk details. You're not turning it into a rigid drum kit. You're creating control over the moments that matter. Once it's sliced, open the MIDI clip and keep the core break intact first. Don't get too clever too early. Your job here is to preserve the groove, then trim away anything that fights the snare or clutters the pocket. In jungle, restraint is often what makes the break feel bigger. Too many hits can actually make it feel smaller. A really useful habit is to rename the track and color-code the important slices right away. If you know you're going to resample later, that saves time and keeps the session organized. Small workflow moves like that matter when you're building variations fast. Now let's give the break some weight. On the sliced track, build a simple processing chain with stock Ableton devices. A strong starting point is drum bus, then saturator, then EQ8. With drum bus, keep the drive moderate, maybe around 5-15%, and keep boom very restrained unless the break really needs extra low end. With saturator, turn soft clip on and use just a little drive, maybe 1-4 dB. Then trim the output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. After that, use EQ8 to clean the obvious problems. Remove useless rumble below around 25-35 Hz if needed, make a small cut in the low mids if the break feels boxy, and tame any harsh brittleness in the top if the hats get too sharp. Why this works in D&B is simple. The break has to stay rhythmically alive while also feeling dense enough to stand up next to a heavy bass line. Saturation thickens the transient envelope. Drum bus adds punch and grain. EQ keeps the low mid buildup from turning into mud the moment the sub enters. And here's the warning. Too much boom will make the kick and sub fight. Too much saturation can blur the ghost notes and flatten the snare crack. So if the sound starts to smear, back off the drive before you start carving frequencies. Tone first. EQ second. Now for the voltage part of jungle voltage. This is where we add a synthetic edge above or inside the rhythm. It's not a lead. It's not a melody. It's a thin electrical texture that makes the break feel powered, unstable, and a little dangerous. You can do this in two ways. One option is a metallic noise tick or a short percussive texture, processed with auto filter and a little erosion, kept quiet and placed rhythmically around the ghost spaces. The other option is a tiny synth pulse from operator or waveatable with a very short envelope, then filtered and lightly saturated. If you want a raw, broken, yard-style jungle feel, go with the noise tick. If you want something more precise and sinister, like a powered circuit humming inside the drums, go with the synth pulse. What to listen for? Does this layer make the break feel more animated without drawing attention to itself? And if you mute it, does the whole groove lose urgency? If the answer is yes, then you've got the right kind of supporting texture. Keep it low. Its job is pressure, not spotlight. Now let's make the rhythm lean forward instead of just looping. Old school D&B breathes through micro variation. You want the break to change subtly every couple of bars so it keeps moving. A simple way to do that is to keep bar 1 strong and recognizable, then in bar 2 remove one or two less important ghost hits, or move a pickup slightly earlier or later. Then by bars 3 and 4, create a response phrase, maybe a snare pickup, maybe an open hat accent, maybe a tiny fill before it resets. This is where timing matters a lot. Nudge a ghost note slightly late if you want it to feel rubbery and laid back. Nudge it slightly early if you want that anxious, forward driving pressure. Usually, the safest move is to keep the main snare locked and let the ghost notes breathe around it. That keeps the anchor solid while the movement stays human. Why this works in DNB is because the bass usually handles the long note movement. That means the drums need to do two things at once. Hold the floor steady and create tension. The main hits anchor the groove. The micro edits give it adrenaline. Once the break feels good, commit it to audio. Freeze and flatten, or record it out to a new audio track. This is a big step, because now you can treat the break like sound design material instead of an endlessly editable loop. Printing it opens up a lot of creative options. You can reverse tiny sections, chop fills, make stutters, create drop-ins and automate filter movement much more cleanly. If you've got a version that already feels dangerous, don't overwork it. Print it and move on. In this style, commitment often improves the track more than endless micro-tweaking. After printing, slice the audio into phrases and keep the strongest 1-bar and 2-bar moments. That gives you actual arrangement material. A useful printed chain after the fact is EQ8, then drum bus, then a very gentle glue compressor if you need a touch more cohesion. But keep the swing intact. Do not squash the life out of it. Now audition the break against a simple sub-bass or a Reese root. This is where a lot of drum loops fall apart. They sound exciting solo, then collapse when the bass enters. Listen for the kick and bass relationship. If the source break has too much low end, trim the rumble below around 30 to 40 HE, or reduce one kick hit in the pattern, or choose a cleaner break for this section. If it's a Reese, pay attention to the 100 to 250 HC zone, because that's where the body of the break and the bass movement can stack up too much. What to listen for now? Can you still hear the snare clearly when the bass is active? Does the groove feel tighter with the bass, or does it suddenly get crowded? If the break and bass are pulling against each other in a controlled way, that's a good sign. That tension is part of the sound. From here, turn the loop into an arrangement. Don't leave it as an endless 2-bar repeat. Make it usable in an actual track. A classic old-school shape might start stripped for 4 bars with the break and voltage layer, then bring the bass in for the next 4, then remove 1 or 2 top elements and add a fill, then come back with a full break and a new accent pattern. If you want a more aggressive first drop, let the full break hit right away, then create a call and response across the next few bars. Dense drum energy in 1 bar, a little gap or fill in the next, then repeat with a variation. That gives the DJ clear phrasing and gives the listener somewhere to breathe. Automation should add tension without wrecking the punch. Use auto filter, reverb, and maybe a touch of delay very sparingly. A gentle high-pass sweep can open a transition. A short reverb throw before a drop can create lift. A quick delay on 1 ghost hit or snare pickup can add excitement, but don't drench the break. If the impact disappears when the effect lands, it's too wet or too wide. Pull it back until the dry hit still feels like the main event. A really important final check is the mix balance. The break should hit hard, but leave space for the sub and the key elements. Use EQ8 to remove clutter instead of oversculpting narrow peaks. And definitely check the break in mono with utility. Old school breaks can sound huge in headphones because of stereo room tone and hat wash, but that can collapse into a weak haze on a club system if you're not careful. Keep the low end centered, and make sure the core snare and kick still read clearly. A good final benchmark is this. The break should sound finished enough to sit inside a rough arrangement, but still flexible enough for later fills, drops, and edits. Not overpolished, not messy, controlled chaos. A few quick pro reminders. Treat the break like a lead element with percussion duties, not just background drums. Make decisions in context, not only in solo. Keep the snare emotionally constant, and once you've got a version that feels right, don't be afraid to print it and move on. That's often where the real progress happens. If you want to push it further, try versioning. Keep 1 clean version, 1 dirty version, 1 stripped version, and 1 fill version. That gives you fast arrangement options later. You can also keep the core break human and tighten only the voltage layer or a few top slices if you want that half-machined, half-played feel. So the big idea is this. Control inside instability. Start with a break that has character. Slice it so you can shape the phrasing. Add grit with stock Ableton processing, Then introduce a thin synthetic layer that gives the beat an electrical edge. Keep the snare strong, keep the low end clean, and let the arrangement evolve every few bars. Your challenge now is to build that 4-bar jungle voltage break, check it against a sub bass, and create at least one real variation. If you've got the time, push it out to 8 bars and print a dirty version for the second half. That's where it starts feeling like a track, not just a loop. Take your time, trust the groove, and don't overpolish the life out of it. When it works, this kind of break feels raw, dangerous, and ready for the dance floor.